After you're saved, he don't quit working on you. So you go in face to face with him then. He's going to keep on working on you. But we need to understand that Satan don't want you to know the riches, and he don't want you to know the power that we have in Jesus Christ. How are we going to intercede for our loved ones? To pray for one another. When we don't know what to pray for, and we don't know how to pray. Now, when you don't know what to pray for exactly, and also how to pray, so many times I've come up to different problems. People ask me to pray. You don't know what to pray for them. Maybe it's your young teenager kid. They go with somebody, and then they get on up in the age of marriage, and you don't know where to pray. They get married or pray to break up. You know, and there were so many people on the bed of affliction. This crosses my mind so many times. Well, there that person is, maybe eat up with cancer on their own. You might say lay on their deathbed, and then you're going to have a prayer for them. Well, you're going to pray for them to stay here, or you're going to pray for them to go to heaven? You don't want to pray for it, do you? I don't. You just don't know. And same thing with our loved ones. So, but Paul's going to answer the questions. Always your question in life is answered by the Word of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, 8 through 21 is Paul's prayer. It's a long prayer. It is a model prayer for just this cause. Now, see, Paul was in prison. Nero was on the throne. He was waiting for either Nero to turn him loose, or either where he can go on with the gospel, or either by death. And yet he did not pray for himself, but he prayed for others. He prayed for others. So many times, I really do believe that the most important people on earth are those who knows how to intercede for one another and for other people. The title is very important because it's a matter of intercessory prayer. God wants and desire that we pray for one another. Did y'all know that? Did God desire for us to pray one for another? This really helped me. You know, I told you if you take these five things down that Paul has penned here for us in his time of praying for someone else that he was near to, and that was Ephesians church, Ephesus. If you take these five things down, and I told you it's they're not word puzzles, but these picture puzzles. I told you last Wednesday night. You see these picture puzzles, and you got a needle in a haystack, and you find that needle, and there's a bird in a tree, and there's this, that, and other. And, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, this is a picture puzzle here in the Word of God, and he gives you the answer to them, each one of these. And if you just look at these and you think about these and you find these scriptures, and we're going to go over them and we get through with them, you'll find that really helps you to find these five answers. And oh, Paul, he says now, and really, I won't read it in just a moment, but verse 14 says, for this cause. Now, what I've been talking to you about tonight, him in prison, and then they fixing to read from here on down, and he says, for this cause, that's the reason that I'm going to bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this cause. And he goes on to finish up his prayer. So let's read this verses 8, 8 through 14. It says, unto me, who am less than all the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see there again, make all men see. That's what we're doing here tonight. That's what you do on Sunday school. That's what we do on Wednesday night. That's what we do on Sunday morning. That's what we do on Sunday night. To what I'm doing tonight is make all men see, that hear the sound of my voice, you Sunday school teachers, that's the reason you come, to see. That's what it says. What is the fellowship of this ministry, mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now and to the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you so much, Father, that we have the light to guide us in this dark world. The light of your precious Spirit, the light of the power of your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that you will help us, never leave us, never forsake us. But Father, we have the light that we might be able to step each step of the way. Your holy word says the word is a lamp unto my feet. So Lord, we just pray, God, that the light will shine out in our hearts to know which direction to go in all aspect of life, especially in this very important issue that we have, praying for other people, praying for our loved ones, praying for those that ask us to pray for them, praying for the ones that we need to pray for, whether they ask or not. To help us, Lord, to pray for others and know what to pray for and how to pray and the power of prayer, that we may understand the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. And we thank you this hour in the name of Jesus. Amen. And keep in mind as you go through this, these two great issues that I told you that we need to conquer, and that's our knowing our riches in Christ and our power in Christ. Then verse 20 that I didn't read, now to him that is able, after he gets through praying, that for him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works where? In us. You say tonight there's power. You have power, wonder-working power in Jesus Christ. Confidence of this power. We need to learn how to intercede for our children and others, do we not? Precious things that we have, I do believe on this earth, is our kids, our grandkids, our loved one, our family, brothers and sisters, wife and husband, our immediate family. And we need to learn how to pray for those. Because a lot of those are not worshiping the Lord. They're not walking in the narrow path that they should be walking in. And they certainly don't know the riches nor the power they have in Christ Jesus. And so what can you do for them? Well, these five things are going to help us and tell us what we need to pray for. When God asked us to pray, we need to pray for one another. And we'll see how much it helps. Many times we find ourselves in situations, as I said, that we don't know what to pray for. And we don't know how to pray for these loved ones. But these five things here, Paul asked these five things for people that we have, and he loved these people. And I really believe you could say this is a model prayer of a saint. The Lord had a model prayer, teach us how to pray. But this is a model prayer of the saint, O Paul. They asked the kind of things that Paul asked, and he was confident with his great faith. He received the great blessings that he had asked these things. As you think about someone now tonight, I know God has already put somebody on your mind. Somebody already God's put on your mind, on your heart. Family member, loved one, friend. And God wants to bless them through you and your prayers. As we think about the best thing for them now, what do you want the best thing for the person that's on your heart and your mind right now? Well, the first thing, spiritual wealth for their needfulness. Did you know they in needfulness? They have some needs. And now verses 8 through 14, I just read that. Paul prays now for this church and the people of this city to know how rich they are in Jesus Christ. There's so many times now, you know, that churches and a lot of our Baptist churches, and I don't know why they get more worldly. They want to quit on, the reason I hate to put off a service. Because there's so many of our Baptist churches that quit having service on Sunday night. They quit having service on Wednesday night. And they don't have Sunday school. And they say, well, what's wrong with that? Anybody don't see what's wrong with it is in terrible, terrible shape. I can tell you. And we need to understand that that's what we're here for. Is to help us understand our riches and know what we have in Jesus Christ. Many times our children and our grandkids and friends, our neighbor, you know, they quit coming to church. If they come up in the church, some of them quit, and they started dabbling in the worldly things. And they just don't understand what they have in Jesus Christ. They become worldly. They don't understand their riches. When you quit coming, you start putting off. Don't matter who you are, how old you are, when you start putting off services of the Lord, You'll see that shadow of blindness begin to blind over, and you see the world more clear, and you don't see Jesus Christ near as clear, because the world has come between you and the things of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, any child of God, anybody that's saved, it don't come. I'm going to tell you, Satan can blind them, show them the things of this world. And I tell you, this world has its own gods. And you can't see Jesus Christ near as plain. And we're here to take the blinders off of old Satan himself. They can't see, and they need help. And that's what we're for. That's what we're supposed to be spiritually here. We're supposed to help those that cannot help themselves. You know, Moses, in Hebrews chapter 11, 24 and on down, Moses, you see, he could see the Lord real plain. He says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You remember who Moses was. Chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteemed the reproaches of Christ, great riches. See, he knew the riches in Christ Jesus. And your loved one, your kids, your family, your friends, if they know the riches in Jesus Christ, they'll do what Moses done. He knew what it was. He had a foundation from his mother, raised him up, and all through the years, she brought him up and nursed him before she turned him over to Pharaoh. And as I said many times, she'd say, now, Moses, when you fix to leave my house, all of our kids have left their homes. Some of them come back, don't they? But anyway, they left, and Moses said, don't forget who you are. And that is the language that we need to tell our loved ones and our friends, our family, our kids. Don't forget who you are. And that's what it is. That's what we do. We sound out from the pulpit. Don't forget who you are. And he said, I won't forget who I am. He says, he's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. See, that's old worldly things. That's the reason our kids and our family are so worldly today, because they see the riches of this world and they don't see the riches in Jesus Christ, it says. For he had respect to the recompense of the rewards. You see, Moses knew. Moses knew what it was. And if we knew what it was, well, we can choose, and our children, they can choose. It's just like we fix and go through Christmas time and the great feast, and I know all of us is going to have more than what we can eat. I'm sure we have. And you just stuff yourself with them chicken and them turkey and them dumplings and them dressings and this, that, and all that big stuff, and you just get stuffed and you just get stuffed and you just get stuffed with all that good stuff. And then somebody knocks at your door, well, it comes up there, and you open the door and they have a plate of old dry stale crumbs. They said, are you wanting some of these? Would you want any stale crumbs after that dinner you just eat? Not on your life, you would not be interested in those stale crumbs. So a person that feeds on Jesus, a person that knows their riches in Christ Jesus and the power in Christ Jesus, when the world knocks on the door, you don't have to eat 10 cans in the alley with a billy goat, because you've already be full of Christ. And that is for our kids and our loved ones to understand that. What we have. If we're satisfied in Jesus Christ, we won't be looking for these other things. Now, they may be saved, but they don't understand the wealth. Pray that their eyes might be opened. Families, loved ones, we might help them. Maybe your husband, maybe it's your wife. Maybe you know it's someone that you work with. Now, there's so many parents, even Christian parents, that don't understand this. For instance, you know what? It's good to have your kids in some type of curriculum in school. It don't matter if it's sports, it don't matter if it's band, it don't matter what it is. That's all that stuff is good. And you see, they won't never hardly miss that, but you see, they'll miss church, make sure their kids go to a ball game. They won't dare miss anything at school or any other thing. Take it further. It don't matter what it is, sports, whatever it is. Most of us are too interested now that our children be wealthy, healthy, and happy, rather than be holy. Holy. We want our sons and our daughter to be successful. We want them to be very important. And you know, that's what our other mothers and fathers is for, and our grandkids, all this stuff, you know. But you see, it don't make no difference what they really are in life. You know, as you think about it, you could say, Lord, it don't matter if they're a plumber, it don't matter if they're a doctor, it don't matter if they're a laborer, But Lord, no matter what they are, I want my child, my grandchild, my little, I want them to love you. Isn't that right? It don't matter what occupation they have, wealth, poor, I want them to love you. And it don't matter if they live from hand to mouth, but I want them to love you. Now, that's why church is so important, to get their values straight. To get their values straight. So, what are you going to pray for? Start with spiritual wealth for their needfulness. They need something. That's what they'll pray for. Then they need to pray that God will help them for their spiritual strength for their weakness. That person's weak. Verse 15 to 16, as we go on down, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches again now in glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So we don't know why to pray for that person. Average prayer meeting, home here at church, what we just got through. Bless Sally, bless Richard, bless the sick. That's what we just got through doing, ain't it? Bless them. Pray for the sick, and we should. And we should. But did we ever think about praying for their strength or their spiritual strength? We prayed for their physical strength. Would you pray for my family's spiritual strength? Nobody didn't say that tonight. No name was mentioned. You see, more important than their physical strength is their spiritual strength. Now, could you say what I'd like for y'all to pray? I would like for y'all to pray for all my family's spiritual strength. Because we know we're all weak and we need to be strengthened. So we need to pray for that. Lord, help the inner man in the strength. Fasten your heart and your mind to someone that God has put on that person, and you know that God will strengthen them in the spirit. That God will strengthen them. It says, according to his riches of his glory. We think a lot of time being filled and strengthened, the inner man, is for us big old strong adults. We think it's for us adults. But you know what? We ought to also realize that the filling of the spirit is for our children also. You know, your kids, not just us old people, but our kids, they need to be strengthened in the Spirit. They need to be filled with the Spirit. We've had a lot of children come and be saved when a lot of grown people refused to come down. And these kids were filled with the Spirit of God, or they would not recognize Jesus Christ, and they needed a Savior from a very young age. Be filled. And it said, the Bible said, the promise unto you and your children, to as many as the Lord shall call. So you know that we have spiritual weaknesses. And I tell you, I have that. We all have. But you know, especially as we think about our kids. And I said, you think about someone you need to pray for. It's not here. Some kids that's not walking the lines they should. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you don't know what to pray for them. Well, you know, you can pray for the wealth of their needfulness. But also spiritual strength for their weakness. One of the things they are, they weak or they're not here, they weakness. And we could pray for their weakness. And then, as you think about the sea, spiritual depth for their shallowness. There's so many are so shallow in the Word of God and in the Lord. Very, very shallow. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Very powerful, powerful message there in that verse 17. Word dwell. Jesus is already in the hearts of these people he's talking to. They are at the church. They are saved. Dwell. And the Bible says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he have none of his. That means they're lost if they don't have the Spirit. He's talking about those already saved. The ones that you can't get to come to church is saved. I don't know who they are. You can't drag them. These five things are going to help them. That the word dwell means to be at home, means to settle down. Because you see, they're so shallow, high behind so many excuses. They're so shallow in the spiritual things that you would settle down, that the Lord will be welcome there. You go on vacation one time or another, and you go to a motel, you know, and you just get what little clothes you need in your suitcase because you hope you ain't going to be there but one night or two at the most, you know, and you just open up and get what you got to have. You know, you're not settled down in that motel room. You can't wait to get back home most of the time, get on your own bed. But anyway, you're there for a little while, and then you get back home, that's what you do. Boy, I'm glad to get back home, man. You settle down, I'm telling you. Well, that's of the Lord. That's what this word, he wants the Lord. I want my loved ones, you know, to be at home with the Lord, but also I want the Lord to be at home with my loved ones. This is a Christmas present tonight I'm sharing with you. This is a Christmas present. And it says the word besides dwell, it says rooted. You see, that's one of the greatest problems that we're having in our country right now. As I said, shallowness. The generation has so much shallowness that they don't know where they come from. They don't know why they're here. They don't know where they're going. Our ungodly school system as a whole, you don't know, every time I say, I'm not talking about Pierce County and our, thank God for our spiritual teachers, but I'm talking about as a whole. They teach the things, they tuck away the history. Most of the younger generation, they don't know nothing about history, how this country was founded. They have no idea how this country was founded. They don't know who these people of our great leaders and founders of our country. Judeo-Christian ethics, they don't have any of that. They don't even know what that means. No spiritual roots. They have forgotten. And that's one of the problems we have in this country. Our whole generation. You see, the root is only for God to see of a tree. God's the only one who can see the roots. See, someone don't have no depth. The root, well, God's the only one that knows it. You know, we can't see the depth. I don't know how. There are all different depths of people in here right now. I don't know what it is, but God does. God knows this generation, and God knows this country, and God knows what problem we're in right now, and that is it, because God sees the roots that we're having right now put down, and they're so shallow-rooted that any type of wind that comes along is blows them from side to side. And that's the generation this day. So young people, they go to school, and you hear this lie they claim that how old this country is and evolution and all that stuff, you know, and that you come from monkeys, and you know, you got to be wide enough that your brain falls out, and you got to be accept everything that comes along. And then they get out of school with all this theory, and they go to all the liberal colleges, and that's all the colleges they are, is liberal by liberal professors that claims, you know, that there's no such a thing as God, and they teach him that homosexual, all right, you're born that way, and you can't help it, and they accept that as a style of living, and that's one we have in this problem right now about the homosexuals in our country. It's been taught to them. It's been taught them with no roots. They've gone the wrong way. They have no root system. They get away from the Word of God. And I don't matter what church they come to, if they get away from the Word of God, it's going to be the same no matter who they are. They get off in the wrong way. And it says grounded, dwelled, rooted, and grounded. That's the foundation. You can't stand unless you got a foundation. Y'all know that? This church wall can't stand unless it's got a foundation. And I tell you what you got to do. You got to go down before you can go up. You got to go down. And you got to go down in the Word of God before you can go up. That's three of them. I hope you wrote them down. We'll try to get back to them maybe next week if the Lord will let me. You got us a little bit of music? I'd like for y'all to think about someone to pray for. That family member, that loved one, several family members.